Dr. Robert Wheaton. He is an adjunct clinical professor at the University of Illinois Shelter Veterinarian for the Champaign County Humane Society, where he teaches shelter medicine and mentors fourth-year veterinary students in their shelter medicine rotation. And I don't envy anybody that teaches fourth-year medical veterinary medical students at Illinois. He also serves as a veterinary outreach coordinator for the Global Alliance for Rabies Control and is on the board of directors of the Alliance for Contraception in Cats and Dogs. The other speaker is Dr. Amy Fisher. She's on the faculty of the University of Illinois Department of Animal Sciences. She coordinates companion animal biology and humane education programs. She's an active member of the Central Illinois Animal Welfare Coalition and is also a member of the board of directors of the Alliance for Contraception in Dogs and Cats. And Amy, it's not on here, but Dr. Fisher has her PhD from Wisconsin.
Yes.
There. With that, go ahead. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you. So about 1 month ago, on September 20th, 2011, we celebrated the fifth anniversary of World Rabies Day. This event was started in 2007 to help spread worldwide educational awareness about rabies prevention. And so over 150 million people in over 135 countries have been educated so far in conjunction with World Rabies Day events. And in addition, 5 million dogs have been vaccinated in conjunction with those events. In 2010 alone, 1.6 million dogs were vaccinated against rabies through the World Rabies Day Initiative. And these monumental efforts would never be achievable without collaboration and community partnering.
I want to start out by telling you a story about Johnny. Johnny was a little stray that was brought to College Road Animal Hospital in Wilmington, North Carolina, where I used to practice, and by New Hanover County Animal Control Services. He'd been found by a Good Samaritan. You can see the bandage on his right leg. He had a fractured radius and ulna. You know, they didn't want to euthanize him. They thought he's a cute little puppy. Let's try to, you know, save him. How could you not want to save him? You know, our staff was really excited about rehabilitating him. The problem is Johnny turned out to have rabies. He'd been in the hospital for about 2 weeks when he started showing clinical signs. And we reluctantly decided to euthanize him and have him tested for rabies, and we got the results the next day. He was positive. And as a result of that, 50 people had to go through post-exposure prophylaxis, and the total bill was around $400,000. So we used Johnny to talk about rabies prevention. He's kind of become a poster child, and Amy and I are living proof of how collaboration works. She teaches in the animal sciences department. I teach at the veterinary college, and I have veterinary students. She has undergraduate students, and they work together in programs. And so we wanted to talk about collaboration. And I like what Bernard J. Turnock says in his book, Public Health, What It Is and How It Works, when he defines community partnering as building a coalition to draw upon the full range of potential human and material resources to improve the community. It's a way to leverage limited resources, which we all have, and multiply limited manpower. It's a way to reach new target audiences. One of the best examples of collaboration that I can think of in rabies prevention is the World Rabies Day Initiative. How many of y'all are familiar with the World Rabies Day Initiative? Good. You know, as Amy mentioned, since the inaugural campaign in 2007, World Rabies Day events have been held in 135 countries, educating 150 million people and vaccinating 5 million dogs. Johnny illustrates the importance of keeping rabies in mind. He was the first case of rabies in New Hanover County, North Carolina, in a dog in almost 60 years. And it's important that his death not be in vain. We wanted to use him to teach people about the importance of rabies prevention. And it also illustrates the point that if we're going to prevent rabies in our community with limited resources and manpower, we need the help of community partners.
And this schematic includes just a few of the different community partners that might be involved in a World Rabies Day event. Health departments, animal control, interested individuals, all the way through people who breed animals, board animals, our shelters and rescues, the media, as well as individuals if you are in an academic community. Certainly not every event will include all of these, but they may start small and continue to grow. We wanted to share just a few examples with you of different programs that have been successful in communities. in New Hanover County, for example, the Animal Care and Control Services really wanted to develop an educational campaign for elementary school children about rabies prevention and bite prevention, but they simply didn't have the money or the people to do it. What was fortuitous is that the Pre-Vet Medical Association, they were looking for a service project at around the same time. And so they partnered with Animal Control, and the pre-vet students went out into the community, developed resources such as they utilize resources that are out there for bite prevention. And so they developed an educational campaign for the school kids. And so everybody won. Animal Control, the pre-vet students got their project, the elementary school children were educated, and the community overall benefited from that. The pre-vet students at the same university then went on, they wanted to reach out even more to their community, so they developed their own low-cost rabies vaccine clinic, and they centered it around the initiation of the World Rabies Day in 2007 and provided vaccines to almost 400 dogs, cats, and ferrets in New Hanover County. And what's exciting is that that vaccine clinic has continued at least every year for those students, but they've also developed sort of a model and have reached out to other universities, such that when Bob and I go back to Urbana this weekend, our University of Illinois students are hosting their very first no-cost rabies vaccine clinic for our community, hoping to serve at least 300 animals in Champaign County as well. And different partners in our community who are assisting the students with that include our local Humane Society and Trap, Neuter, Return program, as well as University of Illinois Extension. So again, we're bringing in different facets of the university system, and certainly our Animal Control Department is on hand. So again, we have many different units throughout the county coming together because they see the benefit of collaboration. The same partners on the previous slide also regularly come together to provide low-cost sterilization programs through our community. We've vaccinated and sterilized about 1,300 cats, and we've just started a low-cost voucher program for dogs as well. But all of our programs through our partners include sterilization, vaccination, and registration through the rabies vaccine with our county. And the registration with the county is a very important component of really bringing together all of those partners, because we are providing the vaccine against rabies. We're also encouraging our veterinary partners to post the mandate that this is the law and that pet owners are required to have dog and cat vaccinations against rabies. And so by providing the licensing and encouraging the licensing, we're bringing more revenue into Animal Control, which then just continues the cycle of being able to support these types of programs. One of the most involved and rewarding collaborations that I can see is the Trap, Neuter, Vaccinate, Return program that, as our first speaker mentioned, there's spay-neuter capability to help keep those feral cat populations from growing. A quality Trap, Neuter, Vaccinate, Return program, if set up correctly and performed correctly, will lead to population decrease through attrition over time. And another important component in addition to the sterilization is definitely the vaccination against rabies. By handling these cats and vaccinating them at the same time that we're sterilizing them, we are creating a barrier between wildlife and our own domesticated animals and people. So again, this is a wonderful collaboration that encompasses so many people. Think of the effort involved to trap these 200 cats at Julie Levy's Operation Catnip Project in Florida. You have the caretakers who watch over these colonies. You have the veterinary specialists who give their expertise. Hundreds of volunteers who help with the record keeping and the non-veterinary services, as well as the caretaker here on the bottom left. A cornerstone, again, of a successful TNVR program is that caretaker who's willing to take responsibility for the colony, ensure continued support of the colony, and keep the population down. And then certainly the county government and local government, you need ordinances to support a TNVR program and to support the return of the cats to the community.
We missed a slide.
Yeah.
Oh, we're missing a slide. Oh well. I had a nice graph showing that, courtesy of the CDC, that showed the incidence of rabies in domestic animals over the last 50 years has decreased as a result of mandatory vaccination programs, whereas the incidence of rabies overall has increased because we're seeing more rabies in wild animals. And, you know, I always question, is this because we're seeing it more, or are we just seeing more of it? You know, we're encroaching on their environment. But the important thing is that, that mandatory vaccination of dogs, cats, and in some cases ferrets has decreased the incidence of rabies in the United States. In 1947, for instance, there were 8,384 cases of canine rabies in the United States. In 2006, there were 71. Johnny was one of those cases. In 1947, there were 33 cases of human rabies in the United States. And over the last 10 years, we've averaged anywhere from 0 to 2. But that's not necessarily the case in developing countries. A lot of difference in many parts of the world. It's estimated that 55,000 people die annually of rabies. Where dogs are the principal reservoir, human exposure is much more likely. And the Bill, a lot of my images are not coming up. Oh well. I had a really nice picture of an article that occurred in the September-October 2009 issue of All Animals, entitled "Slumdog by the Million," Slumdogs by the Millions. You know, and this details the problem with unowned animals in developing countries. And in developing countries, only 5% of the animals are owned in a Western sense. And, you know, they will roam freely, breed at will, and suffer from a host of diseases, some of which they can pass along to humans. And mass culling of dogs in these communities has been attempted, but it has been shown to be ineffective. So population control through birth control and vaccination against rabies is a way of preventing rabies in developing countries. And none of this, again, would happen without collaboration amongst organizations. And I had a nice picture in India alone where rabies is a problem. The Association for Prevention and Control of Rabies in India reported in 2004 that there were 20,565 human deaths during that period of a year. But due to misdiagnosis and underreporting, it's very likely that that number is much higher. It's important to note that 96% of the cases in India occur through the bite of a stray ownerless dog. And tragically, 70% of the cases in India, the victims are children less than 15 years of age. And I had a nice image of Jack Reese and a paper that he published in the 2006 issue of the Veterinary Record, documenting work that was done in Jaipur, India over an 8-year period. 25,000 dogs were surgically sterilized and vaccinated for rabies. And during that period of time, the population of community dogs decreased by 28%. But more importantly, the incidence of human rabies in Jaipur during that 8 years decreased to zero, while it was increasing in surrounding areas. And this is the first scientific evidence that animal population control, when combined with rabies vaccination, can reduce the incidence of human rabies to zero. And imagine for a moment what the difference we would make with a non-surgical sterilant. And I've been fortunate to do more than just imagine. This is a collaborative effort that occurred in Cabrera, Dominican Republic. It was a rabies vaccination and sterilization program, a combined effort between the Dominican government, the Global Alliance for Rabies Control, the Alliance for Contraception in Cats and Dogs, and Animal Balance, an NGO whose mission is to promote sterilization and rabies prevention in communities that have an animal overpopulation problem. And there were supposed to be two images there of promoting that clinic. And this is a couple of pictures from the clinic in Cabrera. On the left, you see Drs. Marcial Guevara and my co-presenter here, Dr. Amy Fisher from the University of Illinois, vaccinating a dog for rabies. On the right, I'm treating a male dog with a product called Asterisol. Asterisol is an injectable sterilant that is used in male dogs. It is faster, cheaper, and more efficient than surgical castration. I can treat 5 dogs with Asterisol in the amount of time it takes me to castrate one, and I'm a pretty fast surgeon. And additionally, in cultures where emasculation is eschewed, the acceptance of Asterisol has been very good.
And it is an incredibly exciting time for development of these non-surgical approaches. This is an article from the 2009 issue of Science Magazine entitled "A Cure for Euthanasia," which highlighted the Michelson Prize and Grants package from Found Animals Foundation. This is a $25 million prize as an incentive being offered for the development of an ideal non-surgical sterilant for cats and dogs. And in addition, a $50 million grants package was released to support development of that product. So it really is an exciting time to be involved in this work. So we just wanted to close today with some resources for you, keeping with the theme of combining sterilization and contraception with rabies prevention. We would encourage you to take a look at the website of the Alliance for Contraception in Cats and Dogs, as it contains a lot of position papers and resources on this topic, as well as the World Rabies Day website, which includes a beautiful toolkit for communities who wish to start their own rabies World Rabies Day program. A lot of different universities and groups who've started their little events from scratch have really learned a lot from the steps provided through this toolkit. And we thank you for your attention.
Thank you. We're running a little bit behind, about 10 minutes, but I think we need to give our last speaker the full range. So if you don't mind just staying for about 10 minutes, and then questions at the end can just be added if you want to talk to the people if you have any questions, or maybe I can ask them to come up here. One other thing, I'm not a very good moderator because I haven't been formally trained, but none of our speakers have a financial interest in anything that they're not supposed to have a financial interest in. So that should cover us.